Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Pity Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and this is the Paisley Pity Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, I said that before. And today is the 21st of August, 2024, and it's Wednesday. Wednesday is when this happens, and this is where it is. And so here we are. Here we are. Another Wednesday, another August. I've done a lot of Augusts. Been doing a show now on 1-2 Radio for nigh on, about 13 years now. 13, 14 years. That seems about right. I think that's about right. And I've been loving it. What can I say? I wouldn't still be doing it if I didn't love it, because I'm just that kind of guy. I just have a tendency to kind of bow out or bow wow or whatever the case may be. Do I do that? Yes, I do. I think my theme song played. I'm pretty sure it did. I had it queued up, so it is queued up. It was queued up. I don't know. I thought everything was set, and I don't know if it didn't, then I beg your pardon. I thought everything was all right, and maybe it was. Who knows? If not, then there was a few seconds there of nothing but dead air. And I am Jacob Dedare. That's not the right name. Edmund. I am Edmund Dedare. God, it probably was fine. It looked like it was fine. I just couldn't hear it. And I don't know why I couldn't hear it. Everything seemed okay. But who knows? It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but in the long run, or in the short run, or even in the medium run, hope you'll be kind to me. Because that's what today is about. It's about kindness. Did you see that full moon on the 19th? I had mistakenly told you it was going to be on the 12th. My God. I am a bit mental lately, but that's all right. It's been kind of a weird time for me. This is my 8th month or so without caffeine. And I got to tell you, this is not an easy time. It just isn't an easy time. Caffeine, I realized I've been dealing with caffeine since I was a little kid, like 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. My mom drank caffeine when I was in the womb. She drank tea and coffee, and she smoked. she smoked Benson and Hedges in London. And she quit that. She smoked Winston's for a while because they taste good as a cigarette should. Of course, that is not how the campaign went. It was Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. And then, of course, there was a big campaign that made it grammatically correct. And, of course, that was the ha-ha part of it. And, of course, now we know better that grammar does not make people live better if they're, you know. As an Egyptian, when I smoked, I thought I should be smoking camels. And little did I know that that's a food stuff and not a... I'm kidding. I have actually eaten camel. My grandmother served it when I was in Egypt when I was 18. I probably ate it when I was a kid. Didn't even know it. I was bitten by a camel when I was 7, viciously upon the leg. So when I ate it, I did not mind. It was not a... I did not go, ew! I tried it. And it was the weirdest thing. My dad reviled the stuff. He would not eat it. He said, go ahead. Go ahead. You can let me know what you think later. He was funny. He was a funny guy. So I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling well. And I hope you're feeling better, because not everyone was feeling great, but I'm feeling better. Actually feeling much better. Thank you. I'm actually feeling much better. Thank you. As some of you may know, in the middle of the year, almost directly in the middle of the year, things weren't going so well, but now they're going much better. Thank you. And this cute little puppy we have, oh my goodness, what a bundle of love. Really cute and sweet and teething. God almighty, is she kind of, having a hard time with that. But then again, that's what happens, you know? Yes, it is. Kind of what happens. And so, losing teeth and new teeth coming in and gnaw, 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 just chewing and, what a bundle of love. I remember teething when I got my wisdom teeth. I still have them. Doesn't mean I'm wise. I am a wise cracker. A wise guy. Cracking wise, are you? And, that was misery. Oh, my God, I was miserable when those wisdom teeth came in. 18 or so. Man, that was rough. I remember being quite unhappy. And, of course, you know, it was common back then to just yank them out. But they were not impacted or anything else. But, I saw a dentist once to have my teeth cleaned. And he said, yep, you need to have all four of them yanked at once. We can do it at once. It would cost you $7,000, $17,000, $100,000. It would cost tens of thousands. You know, it was just one of those deals. Sat me in the office, and I had to watch commercials for an hour while he was doing something else. I think he was starting a fire with two pieces of wood or something. And I was just so furious by the time I got... I should have just walked out and left, but they had promised me a free toothbrush. You know, here's your toothbrush. You know, it was just... I'm a sucker for that. I'm a Taurus. You know, promise a Taurus something free, and he'll do just about anything you ask him to do. It's one of those deals. Yeah. Give him a free toothbrush. Okay, fine. There you go. All right. So kindness is what I want to talk about today. I'll be kind and stop tormenting you with all this. And the reason for that is I'm hoping that we will enter a new age of kindness. That would be a nice thing. But I was also thinking about it because there's not a whole lot of kindness I'm seeing lately. And I think it's possible, and I think it could be probable. I think that there could be kindness. We're not in a kind place right now. This is not a kind time. Social media is decidedly not kind. I think you might be able to agree with that, that there's just not a whole lot of social media kindness going on. Now, some of the stuff is kind of cool. I following a thing called Indian food vlogs or something. It's street food in India. And it's not a kind thing, I guess, for the reason that I watch it is because I'm horrified by some of the stuff that I see. It's frankly quite unhygienic. It's the type of thing that I've never, you know, in any nation that you went to that wasn't more, I don't know, whatever. People are making food that haven't washed their hands in a while. I'll put it that way. And they're using instruments that maybe... you might not find... In a local cooking place, and they eat things that we don't normally eat. It's just a very strange. But the people buy this stuff, and they do some flashy stuff. It's kind of cool watching them. I love to watch them cook because it's very innovative. But sometimes it's a little bit horrifying too. They use their hands to mix things, and their hands are decidedly not clean sometimes. And people buy it and eat it, and you're thinking, okay, well. And they seem to survive, and you think, okay, when I was a kid, I ate dirt, and other things, and I'm alive. So you wonder about that. Maybe we're a little too soft. But it's a fascinating thing to eat because of some of the concoctions that they throw together and how they do it. I love watching cooking things on social media because some of them are absolutely fascinating, watching people slice up things in unique ways. I saw a way to eat a mango. I love mangoes, but my goodness, they are a pain in the kazoo, you know? Because they're just so, you have to slice this way, and then you have to, you know, dehair the. When I was a kid, my parents would buy mangoes at the grocery store. And no one I knew had ever seen a mango. But my parents knew mangoes because they grew outside their door, you know, in Egypt. So they would buy mangoes and they would slice them up and I'd have the seed. And I'd say, hey, I want the seed. So I'd take the seed and I'd eat all the stuff off the seed, but then I would have this hairy seed. And I would take it to school. Once I had taken everything off, and I would wash it real carefully, and I would take this seed, and of course it's hairy, and the kids would say, "What is that thing?" And I'd say, "This is the testicle of a Yeti." And I'd say, "But I only have one." "What do you mean that's a testicle of a Yeti?" "You know, an abominable snowman." And believe it or not, I had kids who believed me. This is what it was. And I get hauled into the office, you know, and the principal would say, "What is that thing?" I'd say, "It's the testicle of a Yeti." And he'd say, "Sit down." I'd get hollered at for about half an hour. I was in the fourth or fifth grade when I did this. And oh my goodness, did I get hollered at. But it was fun. It was enjoyable. If I'd say, "It's a mango seed." He said, "A what? A mango seed?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's this fruit, you know, and it's this big fruit." And he yelled at me some more. And he said, "Don't tell me that sort of thing." And I said, "No, it really is. It's a fruit." And so he got out an encyclopedia and he looked it up and he saw the seed. And he said, "It has hair on it?" I said, "Yeah, it has hair on it." He looked it up and it had hair on it. He said, "So you have to stand up in front of the class and explain what this is and this and that and ho, 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 ho," you know. So that was that. So I got off track there. But so I found this way to eat a mango easier. And it, by golly, it works. It works so well that I did it and I ate a whole mango, you know. And that was fantastic. I had it for breakfast, and it was one day, and it was delicious. It was wonderful. I let it ripen, and I didn't have to just, boom, there it was. And I'll tell you what you do. You just cut it around. So you have the mango holding it up lengthwise, and you cut around its circumference. Okay, I played circumference in a play once because of my girth. And I had to wear tights. We all had to wear tights. I was circumference. How's that for cast typing or typecasting? And that not a nice thing to do. What was the name of that thing? The Night Before Something. It was stupid. It was dragon thing. And it was circumference. But yeah, I know. So, and you just add, what you do then is you just twist it back and forth and you just pop it apart. And then you've got the seed is, one side's not going to have a seed. The other side has a seed. You take a paper towel, you just pry that free, and then you just scoop it out, you see? And it's wonderful. It works really, really well. But just remember, mangoes are pretty fibrous, just warning you. Another thing, I learned how to pop a seed out of an avocado. You know, you take that thing with a knife and you jam it in there, you know, you like a pump, and then you, you know, you might hurt yourself. And this is so simple. And I've learned some other things, right? So I love to watch these things where you watch people cook, and some of them are great little hacks. But this thing, ooh wee, this seed is So it's a little bit mean. It's a little bit unkind because people say some horrible things about what they're seeing, you know? So it's really kind of unkind. So I'll admit, I kind of get involved in, but it's fascinating to watch because people in other countries actually eat this stuff. And I think that's an education. I don't think that's so bad, you know. But social media can be incredibly unkind, especially when people start picking on each other. Now, that's bad. I think that's really, really bad. But that's the way it is. And money talks. We know that. I know that. You know that. We all know that. And I think that's just wrong. Yesterday, I went to go grab a couple of salads to bring them home from dinner. Not from dinner, for dinner. And I was coming back, and there was a stoplight, and no one would let this big old truck into traffic. And I was thinking, kindness, kindness, kindness. So I stopped. And the guy kind of looked at me like I was a worm, you know, for letting him in. And I thought, you know what? That's fine. I think, and that's kind of the point of kindness. I let him in because I was thinking about kindness, about this show that I would do today. And I thought, I didn't think to myself, why that dirty, no good, low down, think. There we go. Think. Now, there's a word I haven't used since I was in about the fifth grade. The think. But maybe the seventh grade. Yeah, the think. But I didn't think that. Because you know what? Kindness is something that's very specific. And I want to talk about that today. So what? Kindness does not have to be reciprocated with any kind of acknowledgement or anything else. It is what it is. It's like a gift. I've always said, if you give someone a gift, no matter what they do with it, you gave it as a gift. It does not need to be acknowledged, cherished, kept, nothing. Once you give it, that's it, man. That's it. I've always thought about, you know, when you give someone a gift, like, for example, if you had been given the gift of a valuable fountain, and I'm into fountain pens. That fountain pens are my thing. I love fountain pens. As a matter of fact, I have a huge old ink stain on my finger and my thumb right now because I filled up a fountain pen and it burped on me, you know, it burped. So I have a big old stain on my finger. That happens when you fill up pens. And we fountain pen lunatics, we wear those ink stains as a badge of as a badge of pride, of courage, because we love our fountain pens. So, you know, if I gave one of my fountain pens to someone that I, if I cherished it, because it had been given to me, let's say, by my dad, and I gave it to someone and said, here you go. I'm giving this to you. And they took that fountain pen. They said, gee, Mo, thanks. And they put it on the ground. They stomped on it. Well, I would be heartbroken, I'm sure. But I would have no right to feel any anger or anything else because I gave it as a gift. And once it leaves my hands, it's no longer mine. I have no longer. Now, I would certainly never give that person anything else, but the gift is given, it's gone. See? Now, my dad gave me his Parker pen, which had a nice, I think, a 14 or 21 karat gold nib, which would write like a dream. He gave that to me when I was in, I think, junior high school. And he should not have. He should have waited till I was in college or something like that because I think I lost it somewhere. I loved that pen. I loved the way it wrote. I did not recognize the immense value of it emotionally. I knew it emotionally, but I didn't know how to take care of it. And he didn't bother really to say, here's how you take care of this. I mean, he probably received it as a gift when he was, probably in high school or junior high, or maybe even college. But that Parker pen was a gem of a pen. And now I realize that it was a showpiece. I didn't realize it then. Because my dad was a scholar, and he was a big deal, and I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if I may have put India ink in it, which would have destroyed the pen. But it was also a pen that had a bladder in it. And, those things don't last forever. See, I'm getting off track. Let's talk about kindness. But he was a kind man, so he didn't hold it against me. He didn't, like what I was talking about. He didn't say, I gave you that pen. My father gave me that pen. Nothing. He didn't care. He wasn't using it. He gave it to me. And, when I didn't have the pen anymore, I don't even remember anything about that. That's how cool it was. It wasn't like, there was a big problem there. Amazing. So what is kindness about for me? I think that kindness is easy. Kindness is a lot easier than rudeness. At least that's what I maintain. Kindness to me is, being nice to me is like standing in an empty field. Beautiful, beautiful empty field. Well, when I mean empty, I mean there's not a lot of people around. There's no houses. There may be a tree or two, but it's like green grass on a sunny day with nice blue sky and puffy clouds. And there may be birds singing. There may be some flowers in that field. It's a lovely day. There's a gentle breeze. It's just beautiful. You see, you stand out there, and it's just gorgeous. It's lovely. That, to me, is what kindness is. And that's what you feel like inside when you're able to be kind to people. It feels really, really good. It feels really, really good inside. Now, not to pick on Detroit, but I went to Detroit in the 80s to do some yo-yoing and stuff. Downtown Detroit. And I had never seen anything like it in my life. There had been riots in Detroit in the 60s. It was, the entire blocks had burned down and they hadn't cleaned them up. There were blocks that had been designated as purely for garbage in Detroit. And so people would just throw their trash on them. So what happened is the houses had collapsed, and they would just throw garbage on there. And I saw rats the size of small dogs, and some rats the size of bigger dogs. And it was a place that it was just tense. It made me tense because I had never seen anything like it in my life. I'd been to Detroit when I was about 4 years old, and I remembered it as a very different city. And it was a very different city. That was the Motor City, And Motown came from Detroit, and cars came from Detroit. And it was a big, impressive city back then. But when I saw it in the 80s, it was a very different place. And it really wasn't pleasant for me. And I got to entertain children there, and I got to make them, for a while, I entertained them, but those blocks, that to me is what being rude is like. It's like being on one of those blocks or next to it, and it's like one of those blocks where there's garbage piled up as high as you can imagine, like 50, 60 feet tall, and there's rats on it, and that to me is what rudeness is like. So being nice is this big open field where it's clean and everything else, and being rude is one of those other types of blocks where there are burned out houses, and I saw things I couldn't even imagine. People living in those old houses that were condemned and burned out. And it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. And that's rudeness. And the problem with that is that, do you want to get used to living like that? Rudeness is really weird stuff. And people can be really, really rude. and they can be shut off from other people. And I've seen that so often lately. People shutting themselves off from other people. And I was a friendly kid. I was,
I could be weird, like, Yeti testicles. That's weird. That's not normal. That's a weird thing to tell people.
It's just a weird thing to do. But I had a very creative sort of sense of weirdness. I had seen a show on TV about Yetis, and they showed them standing there, and they said, "This is a Yeti scalp." And of course, it probably wasn't, but it may have been. And it was a black and white show. Of course, that's all we had was a black and white TV at the time. And it was, one of these shows about, do they exist or do they not? This is about Yetis and the Himalayas and Tibet and Sherpas and, Yetis and more Yetis and the Abominable Snowman and Footprints. And it was just a wild show. And it got my imagination really just rushing. And I thought, this is fantastic. And I said, what else could this be? It's covered with hair. And look at this thing, And so, but that was my mind back then, and I loved it. It was rich and fantastic. And so, but people aren't, why would you want to stand in this burned out place? Why not stand in the field and have fun and laugh and have joy? But people aren't really there right now. Why do you want to be miserable? Why do you want to be miserable? And so I really don't want to be miserable. I'll tell you something. I think that if we are rude, we're going to have people being rude to us back. And after a while, we begin to build up these resentments. And we may have resentments from our youth. I used to get beat up as a kid a fair amount. Pushed around, pushed down, knocked over, tripped, made fun of. Oh, did I get made fun of? A lot. And I guess it was because I didn't fit in any demographic, really, because, I wasn't a part of any known ethnic group in town. I just wasn't, because I wasn't of any particular group, per se. And I'm not going to go any further than that, other than to say that that's just the way it was. And kids laughed at me, so I laughed with them. I did. And it was kind of disarming to them. They didn't know how to act about that. And I would make up songs, and I would make up poems. And after a while, and I also had a way of kind of... I thought it was funny. I thought it was fun. And I was also incredibly kind, because I knew that I couldn't fight their meanness, if you know what I mean. They were kind of rude and mean to me, but I knew that I couldn't come back at them with that because I was kind of outnumbered. So I would be very kind to people. I suppose it was a defense. But also, I didn't see the benefit of trying to fight people that I had nothing against. Even when one kid just hauled off and hit me in the mouth, knocked me on my booty, so to speak. I think that's how it's pronounced. Boom. And my mouth was bleeding. He didn't know me from Adam. He just didn't like me, for whatever reason that is. And I was stunned. I was hurt physically and emotionally. And it did hurt a great deal. And I think I was in probably first grade or so on the playground. And I was scared of him from then on, But the key is that I didn't see any reason to... I don't know. I couldn't figure out why he did it. And I was afraid of him, but I didn't see any reason to talk badly about him. Does that make sense? I just figured there was something wrong with him. I think that's the best way to put it. Kindness, maybe it's just there's something in us.
Maybe there's just something wrong with me. I don't know. My dad was a kind man. He was an extremely kind man. People wronged him all the time, and he just would say, that's just the way he is. You know, he's not... He would say something like, maybe, perhaps, he's not very evolved, he's not very smart. He would say that. And I'd say, well, isn't he like a PhD or something? He said, well, that's... He's smart in that way, but not in other ways. And I kind of liked that. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, my wife and I used to go to a craft shop. You know, they sell crafty stuff, and they sell fabric and, you know, glue and all that stuff. It's a big chain. It's not the one super religious, you know. It's another one. Just, I don't know why I mentioned that, but it's just not, that's that one. It's not that one. There was a lady there who was gruff, and I mean gruff, and if people tried to talk to her, she would be extremely rude to them. pardon me. And not in a, you know, like in an up yours sort of way, but just, you know, kind of like a mind your own business, don't talk to me sort of way. And one day, I talked to her. And I could see she was in a great deal of pain. The way she was standing, I could see that it was sciatica, and she was hurting, and I said, oh my goodness. I said, how long do you have to stand here and do this work? And she just started crying. And she said, can you tell? I said, oh, of course, I've been through it. I've had back surgery. And she talked for a little bit, and then she said, oh, no one notices. I said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. And she really lightened up. And she had been so rude to people in front of us, I was kind of afraid to talk to her. But from then on, she shifted. And her source of misery, her burned down lot, had been pain. Her anger, the source of her anger that made her rude, was pain. They say that, one thing I heard, a theory, was that all anger is based in either fear or pain. And here's her source of anger was this excruciating pain that she was in. And so we began talking to her. We got to know her. And she would see us online and she would break into this great grin, this huge smile. And her rudeness and her dourness became less and less and less, to where she became very outgoing and started being happy. And she changed. And it was so remarkable to see and such a joy to see. And I'm not saying that we changed her completely. That's not us, you know. But she really did change in her demeanor over a period of about a year or so. And then things changed because, oh, they found out some things about her personal life and her sexuality and this and that, and they began to put some pressure on her, and it's like, oh, come on, don't, you know. But things changed, and it was like, oh, but she was such a wonderful, delightful person. And it was a shame that things got a little bit out of hand there, because she had been so shut down. So not only was her anger because of pain, but also because of fear, you know? But you find out that people are usually resentful of things and rude because of those things. I see a lot of fear in the grocery store. I love the grocery store because I love watching people. And I love to watch how people react to things that are happening in the real world, because they really do reflect that. And you can see, you know, I talk to checkers. I always say hello, and I always say, how are you? And what's going on? And you can judge people pretty well, I think, by how they respond to that little bit of discussion. You know, you can really kind of get to know people a little bit. Of course, I've been doing the work that I do for over 50 years, and I've been doing work with Tarot and stuff longer than that. So you can kind of figure out what's going on. When I was reading out of my home, by the time I met someone at the door and brought them back to my reading room, by the time we sat down, I pretty much had them, you know, figured out, because I could just feel it all. It would like be cascading over me. And I'm not saying I had them completely figured out, but you had a pretty good idea of what they were up to, who they were, what their thoughts were, because it would just come washing over you because they had come looking for something. And unless they were up to no good, they were open. You could feel that. Most people are open. And you want to treat people kindly, even if they're not being kind to you, unless they have something, unless they're going to do something bad, you know, unless people are up to no good. You really want to, I think, open up to them and be kind to them, because their personal lives may be a mess, you know? Their personal lives may be really terrible, and that's usually what causes people to be really nasty, to be really, yuck, you don't really want to get to know them. I mean, I've known people who had the world, you know, they had the world right where they wanted it, and yet they were horrible, horrible people to be around. They weren't horrible people, but they were horrible people to be around because they were unhappy, or they had, perhaps they had a drug problem or a drinking problem. I've seen that. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. Why are people rude? Because they're miserable. I really believe that's the case. It's because they're miserable or because they're afraid. Right? I mean, right now, we're in the middle of this presidential campaign. And there's a lot of real rudeness going on. And why do you make fun of people and call them names? Why do you make up names for people? Well, you do that to demean them, to devalue them, so that you can basically remove their humanity a little bit, or make them less than they are in order to, you know, take away their value, well, which is devaluing them, but so that you can make them less than they are, so you can just essentially scrunch them up, crumple them up, throw them in the wastebasket, turn them into the butt of a joke. And it's happening on the other side, too. It's not just one side. It's both sides. It's all sides attempting to create a buffoon out of somebody. So, what if you're miserable right now? What if you were, and I'm not saying you are, I'm just saying, what if you were miserable right now? What if you know someone who's miserable right now? And you know someone who is sarcastic. Boy, sarcasm is truly, there's a difference between satire and sarcasm. I know someone who uses sarcasm all the time. And it is, sarcasm is, well, it gets irritating after a while, doesn't it, when someone is always sarcastic to you? When you say something in good faith and they answer you in sarcasm, don't you hate that? Isn't it irritating when someone is always sarcastic? When you're talking to someone and there's nothing but sarcasm coming back at you? Doesn't it bother you when something is just responding in sarcasm? I mean, to me, that's a hard thing to deal with. That's a really rough thing to deal with, is sarcasm. It really does kind of bother me. Because you may be dealing with someone on an even keel, on a level of, you know, you're asking something seriously, and the person comes back with sarcasm. I consider that rudeness. And there's a reason for it, because the person may not respect your question, may not respect you in the moment, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons that can happen, and it's harder when that happens in a relationship. You see, what do you do? Well, if it's in a relationship, you're treading in some thin ice, or on some thin ice. Because what are you going to do? Cause trouble? Sometimes you have to. But if you don't really feel like hashing it out, you just ignore it. But it's good to make a point of saying to yourself, okay, well, that was a sarcastic response or a sarcastic remark, and that was rude. And why was the rudeness there? Because there's something underlying that whole thing. And that underlying whole thing is a form of misery somewhere. And what is it there for? Don't know. But there's an underlying anger or a sadness or something, a fear, an unhappiness. And it's nothing I can help. Maybe I caused this. Maybe I caused something. But the point is if you recognize it, at least don't take it too seriously. Or don't take it not seriously. You have to take it seriously. Don't take it personally. Unless it's pointed right at you. And if it's pointed right at you, then sometimes you have to deal with it. Trust me, I've had my fair share of sarcasm leveled at me over the years. Boy, have I ever. Remember, I was a I was not what my mother expected. I don't think I was what anybody expected, including my dad. I mean, I was in the freak era, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, really, is when I freaked out. And that's, by the way, the meaning of the word. A lot of you don't know that, is that we say, man, he really freaked out, man, you know. It started out as saying that someone became a freak. So they freaked out. They, man, hey, did you see Mo? Yeah, no, I didn't see Mo lately, man. Oh, yeah. He's got long hair now, man, and he wears these bib overalls. And he wears this big black cowboy hat and a big bandana. And he's suede sneakers, man. He looks really far out. He freaked out. And that's how that started. Because Jimi Hendrix talked about letting his freak flag fly. And that's exactly what he meant. Let your freak flag fly. And the thing is, it wasn't about showing people you were a freak, because that was not genuine. That was something else. That was an affectation, like my friend who bought a Nehru jacket because it was hep. His had to cost him, his parents actually, about 80, 90 bucks, you know, back in the day, in the 60s. No, this is just about saying, oh, I like this. This feels natural. I hated haircuts, so why would I get one when I didn't have to anymore? I hated shaving. Boy, did I hate shaving. You know, why would I shave when I didn't have to anymore, man? You know, I like overalls because they have lots of pockets. I like pockets. I still like pockets today. My wife will not allow me to get a pair of cargo pants. She just won't let it happen. But it makes sense to me. I like all the pockets. Of course, if I ended up somewhere in water, I would drown immediately, be pulled to the bottom. But, and I always thought that when I grew up, I'd get to do whatever I wanted. Isn't that funny? Get to eat what I want and do what I want and dress the way I wanted to. Wrong. But that's okay. Probably better for me, actually. I probably wouldn't be here anymore. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. So, yeah. Our generation, my generation, had this image of what it meant to be free. And we figured that we would be kind to everyone all the time. I was listening to a song today by John Lennon called Crippled Inside. And that's what it's about. It's one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. It's a wonderful song. If you've never heard it, it's fun. It's a tongue-in-cheek sort of song, but it's one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. You can go to church, you can sing your hymns, you can do all that, but one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside, you know? And it's true. You know, you can do everything. You can do everything. You can be a part of society. You can do everything, all that, but you can't hide it, you know? If you're a mess, if you're not the real thing, you can't hide it if you're a mess inside. And that's the point. I've been a fool most of my life. I have been walked on and considered to be just a complete moron by a lot of people, and I've been taken advantage of. I've never been a good business person, and I mean never with a capital NEV. I've been kind of a doormat for some people. I've been really screwed over financially in certain business things that I've done. Man, I have been, talk about a schmuck. You know, a schmuck is a big schmeckle, for those of you who don't know. So I'll say schmuck. And, I mean, I've just been toasted and roasted and never boasted on, you know. And I'll tell you what, I would rather that and be who I am. Because the bottom line is I enjoy being in that field on a sunny day. With a gentle breeze. With a windsock on a little hill. And with the sunshine going through it. And out the other end with Paisley coming through. Man, that's where the name Paisley Windsock came from. That's the whole point, is that my generation, me in particular, I know that I thought that I would grow up and it would be so mellow, and that we could always be kind to each other, and we could always be at peace. And so why can't you and I practice that? Why do we have to put up with rudeness? The key is we don't have to. Other people are going to be rude. Yeah, that's true. Other people will be rude. They will be rude. They will be. There will be rudeness, lots of it, in the world. And we may have to put up with it. Yes, we may. And so what? And we may have to put up with rudeness from people in our lives. People that we care for. And you know, there are people who are incredibly rude who will never say a rude word to us. There are people who are rude, you know, who are never going to have to look at us wrong. There are people who are rude who never have to actually do anything rude. But they're as rude as can be. Man, I had a doctor who was rude beyond comprehension, unbelievably rude, and another doctor who was incredibly rude. I mean, I had a veterinarian who was incredibly rude, unbelievably rude and cold-hearted, looked at my wife and I and our dog and said, "Fat owners, fat dog." Now, what the hell is that? That is so rude. And I know they thought, well, this will shock them into getting up and doing squats every morning, you know? But man, that's hardcore. And of course, you know, there's a new breed of doctor that says, these people are fat. They're fat. And so they don't want to be healthy. And it's like, wait a minute. They're also old. And they have arthritis, you know? And yeah, man, it's just wild. There are these young people, and maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I don't know. There's a very strange thing going on now in the world. People are trashing others in their own minds. It's a sort of a selfishness. And I think that kindness is about thinking about other people, too. I think about other people. I really do. I think about other people. I've been crying a lot lately. I watch these commercials for St. Jude's and I cry. And I'm thinking, what is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I weeping when I see certain things on TV, certain news stories about people who can't eat and people who are living on the streets? Why am I weeping? You know? Did I have a stroke? Did I am something? And I realize I'm just, it's getting to me. Because I've been hungry before. I've been on the streets before. Not for an extended period of time, but I've spent time on night hiding behind a dumpster so I wouldn't be noticed. Freezing. Cold. I've had to rummage, you know, to eat something that I never in my life would have imagined I would have eaten because I was that hungry, you know? And then you think, well, if I get sick, I get sick, but I have to eat something now. I've been there. I've been really sick before. I've been in agonizing pain before. I've been there. And you think, why do we have to go through this? And now there's such rudeness going on and such unkindness going on. And you think, do we have to have such misery all the time? When is this going to stop? When is this misery going to stop? And I think it's time it stop. And I'm not going to be rude to people anymore. Not that I have been. But, you know, why can't we just mellow out and be nice to each other? I really, really, really want to be nice to people. And when people are rude, I don't know, I just think it's time. I want to be nice. I want the world to be nice. Yeah, and I want doves to fly out of volcanoes, you know. I mean, yeah, I know. But it can happen. When volcanoes are belching smoke rings, I used to blow beautiful smoke rings. I could blow them on chessboards and encircle any piece I wanted to. People would resign sometimes when I'd blow a smoke ring over their king, because I would blow it over whatever piece I was going to take next. And so I'd bluff, because I was a terrible chess player. I'd blow it over their king. Okay, I resign. Yeah, far out. Good. Excellent. <You know? laughs> But man, we have to make a difference. It's time for us to make a difference. It's time for us to change the dynamic. I want to think kindness. I let the guy in. He looked at me like, I wouldn't let you in. So what? I don't care if you would have let me in or not. I get to let you in. And you know what? It makes me feel good. Yeah, you wouldn't have let me in your big, gigantic truck. Maybe I am a worm. But you know what? I'm okay being that. Maybe that's my place in this life. But I love this life. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to try and live it properly. You know, sincerely. I know people who are as kind as can be, but they're not sincere. Do you know what I mean? It's a ploy. Yeah. Enough about that. That's not kind either. All right, that's enough. You're kind for listening. If you've listened this far, you're more than kind. You're amazingly strong. All right. All right. I hope you've had a lovely, lovely day and a lovely week, and I hope you'll have a lovely week coming up, because that's how I feel. Yeah. We're all in this together. We really are all in this together. We are different, we who live this life, who believe in these things we believe in, who do these things we do. We are lucky. We're lucky to be us. So let's hang in there together, should we? Remember, one, two, listen. Where you can get a reading from an incredible group of people who have been personally hand-selected, not by me. And remember, 1-2 Radio, a bunch of cool people here doing radio. Most of them sane. Don't judge it by me. Most of them are sane. All right. Well, I love you. And you know I mean that. And so until next week, wish you peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah, 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism.